Thank you. You may be seated. Well, do you like to be in charge of things? I guess if I asked you that, do you like to be in charge of things, I guess the question right back would be, well, it depends, right? What am I in charge of? There are some people who just automatically, they just kind of jump in and they take charge of things. And I think maybe it's for them, it's because they then have a way of kind of being in control over what's happening. But if we're not that type, we at least like to know maybe who is in charge or who we should look to so we know who we're supposed to answer to or what we're supposed to do and the like. You know, that idea of knowing who really is in charge is what the Old Testament and the gospel lessons for today are all about. The gospel lesson. Jesus had just finished a very busy day of teaching, and he wanted to find a quiet place to rest, just to have some solitude, some downtime. And so he left the crowd behind, told his disciples, we just got to get out of here. He was already in a boat. They joined him. And they all got in. And then he says, almost immediately, he says, all right, you guys, it's on you. You're in charge. Me, it's nap time. I can appreciate that. And so he goes and crashes in the back of the boat. And then it says, almost meanwhile, out of nowhere, this furious squall, this storm comes up. And their boat is filling up fast with water. And all of a sudden, panic just breaks out. Their lives are in serious danger. The sights and sounds of the storm were probably over the top, because storms have a way of stirring up fear. And even though the guys that were in the boat, some of them were fishermen, they completely had lost it. But you see, again, storms have a way of stirring up fear, and there's no doubt that storms will find their way, in a sense, into our lives. Some are small, they're just kind of the everyday kinds of things that maybe we have to face. But then others are just major, they're epic. Now Mark's audience that he was writing this gospel to originally, they needed the story, because they were at the time of writing facing severe trials, facing persecution for being followers of Jesus. They truly were in a storm, per se, in their own lives, wondering what's going to happen. And we come to realize that sometimes Jesus may actually lead us into a storm to test us. He wants to see what's going on with our faith, what our reaction's going to be. And so here in this story, he leads all of them into the storm. And what do they find out right in the middle of the storm when it's the roughest? What do they find? Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. They're in an absolute state of frantic and frantically panicking. They're trying to bail out the boat. Jesus is sleeping. And again, no wonder they said, when they finally went to him and said, "Don't you care? Don't you care? Do you really care about us?" Because you catch the sense that their cry is the ultimate cry of fear. They're wondering, they're doubting, they're wondering if they've been abandoned. And this kind of scenario comes up often as you look back into the history of and the stories of God's people. Don't you care? God, if you are so great, if you are so powerful, if you can do this, if you can do that, then why? Why is this happening if you really cared? So either God is not all-powerful, or maybe doesn't care. And it always leads to the same question, you know, is God with us in the storms? And you know, sometimes Jesus appears at times, in appearance, seems to be kind of distant or far off, maybe not seeming to care. Because all we can hear or see are this kind of the sights and sounds and experience of the storm. We feel alone, almost as if we're going to drown in the middle of what we're in. And most of us have probably experienced other people letting us down at times. Here we are, we needed someone, and all of a sudden it's like, where are they? But there's something even worse than that. And that's going through a trial, going through a storm, and wondering, really, is God there? Is God present? And then to wonder if he's concerned. Is he really going to help? And my guess is, probably for many of us, if we had to admit it, we'd probably say, yeah, I felt that. I felt that when? Maybe it was a really rough time, or something was major change going on, or some significant thing happened in your life, and it just seems too quiet. Here you are in the middle of something extreme, and we say, hey, God, are you asleep? We're perishing. We're going to die here. Them kind of shouting at Jesus that day is kind of like their prayer for deliverance. Like, do something. God, do something. It's kind of like the story that we read in Job this morning. The storyline of Job. Here's Job. He's a believer in God. He follows God faithfully. And then all of a sudden, he loses everything. He loses property, he loses children, and even his own good health. It's all gone. And along comes his friends to comfort him. And in a sense, what they try to do is then start arguing about why these things have happened to Job. And they come to the human conclusion, well, Job, you must have done something to deserve all that's happened to you. In a sense, God's punishing you. You brought all this evil on yourself. You brought all this stuff on yourself. And you say, these guys are here to comfort him and counsel him. And then unexpectedly, God shows up. And that's what we have in this passage here. God shows up, and God himself, in a sense, speaks up. But then when you read it, you hear it, you say, well, that doesn't seem any more comforting what the friends said. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. You say, that's kind of an interesting response from God. It's almost like he's saying, man up and listen to what I'm trying to say, or man up and answer some questions I have for you. That's kind of the tone that you get here. And just a million questions. And almost none of the questions can even be answered by Job. Where were you when? Or what about? Or how about? It goes on and on and on and on and on. But here's the thing, as you really understand and catch the spirit of what's happening here, God was not trying to crush Job and his spirit. Jesus is not trying to crush the spirits of his disciples who were with him in the boat that day. It's not like just smash, I just get in their face. That's not what's going on here. It's almost like when we come to start seeing God for who he really and truly is and who we are in comparison, just a sense of humility comes forth, really. We start to realize who really is in control. And the wisdom that maybe God has, and the knowledge God has, and the understanding that God has, and he knows what's going on, and his purpose, and his plan, that's so far beyond that maybe in our mind at that moment, we just don't get it, we don't understand it. We come to realize maybe who really is ultimately in control. And I sense this is a good word for us men, because I think for the most part, we really like to be in control or in charge. Don't really like to show signs of weakness or that we need help or that, you know, I got this, I can figure this out, all that kind of stuff. I've got this. And sometimes we do just need that straight shooter, someone just come along and just kind of tell it straight for what it is. Confront us head on, even if it hurts. Sometimes we just need that at times. come to realize it's okay to submit, it's okay to ask, it's okay to seek or surrender, and just be quiet, maybe. It was the perfect example. The greatest showing of this was when Jesus submitted to the will of his Father, took upon himself our sins, died in our place, sacrificed his life so we could live. And his willingness to do that says, from Jesus' perspective, I know who really is in charge. Back to the boat. In their shouting, it says, he, speaking of Jesus, it says he got up. Those words, got up, means kind of awakened from sleep. You know, forget all this bailing stuff, just storm, be quiet. The word for got up is the word arose. In the last chapter of the story of Mark, we run into that word again. It's the same word that's used. He has risen. He has risen indeed. He's not here. He's been awakened from slumber. He's been awakened from death. Be silent, be still. And the response is immediate. A great calm countered the great storm. Have you still no faith? Don't you remember I care about you? Do you trust me? We're in God's hands. That picture up there, just a little side footnote here. I took that picture when we were on a trip to Israel, and that is the Sea of Galilee. There's a couple people that were here on that trip, and you probably remember when we took that boat across the Sea of Galilee. We're not talking an epic storm like they had here, but it was got really rough and windy and choppy, and you know, it was kind of a interesting time there for a moment. And I remember we were out on that boat, and I don't know, had a short word of, we were doing a devotion, and as soon as the devotion was done, it just went completely calm and still. It's kind of, I think we looked at each other and said, "Oh, it's kind of eerie when you think about what happens out there in that lake." But the idea is, we're in God's hands. So whether Jesus is asleep or awake, even those people wondering, he's dead. They put him in a tomb. We're safe in his hands. You see, the world is still under the control of our Savior, the world's creator. They said, who is this? God is with us and he's in control. See, one of the points of the story is not that God is going to remove the storms from our lives. The point to us, the point to the original readers, is that when the storms come, to know who really is there with us, who really is in charge. I've really liked this passage and these reassurances. It seems like personally, in just in things going on and changes in my own family and in ministry and so many things I've had to deal with, in a sense, in the last 5 years, it was like more in 5 years than in the past 20, 25 years. But always just to come back to the assurance of who really is in control and to watch God at work. See, the disciples were not alone in the storm. They thought they were. But then God, Jesus, stood up, arose, and showed them otherwise. It's interesting because it's how are we going to respond to this Jesus whom even the wind and the sea obey? And that's how just kind of the story ends. It's just left open. But all right, how am I going to respond? What am I going to do with this? So I've been reflecting on this and thinking about it. And again, sometimes we just need examples. but how we can show it to other people too. We can show other people about, you know, personally, who we believe is in control and can charge and that kind of stuff. So this picture showed up on Facebook this past week, and I think this is the greatest all-time Father's Day kind of image that I've ever seen before. So here's the thing. The kid on the left goes to our school, and dad. And the mom put under like father, like son, or like dad, like son. And this kid wants to do everything his dad does. But what's happening? Dad's reading his Bible, kid's reading his Bible. And the thing that's really cool is the Bible the kid's reading is the gifted Bible that we give to all of the kids that come into our preschool here. The mom of the kid went to school here at Trinity all the way through school. And now her kid's here. And the kid gets to learn from dad about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To be in the Word. It's the greatest example I've seen. It made my day for days seeing that. I kept going back to it. You see, when we see that, when we come to realize it and stuff like that, you know, we let other people know that I need to pray. I need to seek help. I need to ask for counsel. I need advice. I'm not God. I don't know everything. I'm willing to apologize. I'm willing to say I'm sorry. I'm willing to seek forgiveness. Because after all is said and done, we could say, real men know who's in charge, who really is in charge. Real women do the same. But when we truly understand who God is and who we are, everything kind of changes in perspective. Jesus said, I am with you. And then it says, you know, in that story there in the gospel, Jesus got up. He rose up. And then we read again at the end of the story, the ultimate end, Jesus arose. Because with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he comes and speaks to us. And I pray that he would speak to your heart, my heart, all of our hearts today. And in his resurrection power, tell us, you know, peace, be still. Peace, be still. He's not asleep. He's in control. That gives us peace. You peace, all of us peace. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.